Jimmy Carter is a legendary American. His life has been traversed extensively through film, photos, and stories over the last 64 years. Today, however, we explore a part of his story like never before. While most know, the beautiful and sleepy town of Plains, Georgia defined Carter, a new documentary, Carter Country, brings the peanut town to life in a different way, where everybody is the star except Jimmy. Probably just the way he would have wanted it. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us on another episode of The Warehouse. I'm your host, Josh Johnson. And today, like always, we are joined with two incredibly special guests that are going to be bringing good news. We are joined with Bobby Bucciolato and Adam Baumel. So the significance of Bobby and Adam is that they are bringing what I think, and maybe it's because I'm not going to be humble for them, the preeminent work on Jimmy Carter, a new documentary about Jimmy Carter, and it's going to be called Carter Country. Bobby Bucciolato is the writer and the director, and Adam Baumel is the producer. Thanks, guys.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. So let's just dive in. We're talking about somebody without poetry and circumstance is just a huge part of the fabric of not only America, but the world. And so my first question is a simple question. And that question is, why did you decide on this undertaking and this subject matter?
So the first thing that I always tell everybody when I am pitching this project, either if it's somebody that I'm trying to get involved in recording a role or helping fund the project, is I tell them the fact that it's not necessarily about Jimmy Carter. He's a supporting player, but we're not really making the 30th documentary on Jimmy Carter. We're really making the first documentary on Plains, Georgia, on the community that he came from. And I tell everybody the tagline that we have, which is, it's about them, not him. And I always tell people the fact that Plains, Georgia has a population of 670 people. And by some estimates, 95% of them did something to get him elected, whether it was baking cookies at the train depot downtown, which was the first campaign headquarters, or of their own money and their own time going to the first primary states of Iowa, New Hampshire, Florida, and knocking on doors and saying, I'm a neighbor of Jimmy Carter. He's running for president. Have you met him? Can I tell you about him? And so that was really the angle that I found most interesting and that I wanted to investigate. I love Jimmy Carter. I've been a disciple at the altar of Jimmy Carter since I was a small boy. But what I really wanted to talk about was what I think this country really needs to be reminded about, and that is the strength of community and the power of individuals. And the simple fact that at a time when the nation was just as divided as it is right now, they had their scars and their trauma from Watergate, and institutions, the trust of them were at a very low ebb. You had this small town that basically said, you know what? We're going to put on a show and we're going to change this country. And it's one of the last great stories of American politics that hasn't been explored yet. And so that was really the main reason why.
Adam, did you want to add anything?
No, I mean, I think that he covered all of it. It's a tough act to follow when I got this guy involved in this. I have no shame admitting there's some coattail riding here, sure. But I think I'm adding something to it. I'm the Roy to his Walt Disney, so I'm okay with that.
So in the vein of what you were just talking about, it's trite and recycled almost on this programming, the word community, even though it's my favorite word, and it's going to come up in every spot because it is what we do here. A word that kind of feathers out of community which I think is probably the most important word in the English language, is home.
Yeah.
And when we talk about home, for Jimmy Carter, it's Plains, Georgia.
Absolutely.
Why was his home so engaged in his victory? Was it because a win for him was a win for them? Was it because of what he meant to them? Was it because Plains has a population of 600 some odd people, and so it was just fun to do? What is the type of psychology around Plains and their investment in Jimmy?
I think a lot of it stems in the fact that he was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of talk about his work with Habitat for Humanity and the Carter Center and his efforts to eradicate guinea worm. But one of the things that people fail to remember is the fact that when he actually retired in 2016, he called up the Park Service and he said, I'm going to retire. I'm going to be living full time in Plains now. I want you to do something for me. I want you to get me a list of the 20 poorest families in Plains, and I'll take care of the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And these were people that one or two of them didn't have running water, and they all got new HVACs from Jimmy Carter. They all got new 40-year-old roofs from Jimmy Carter. Their utility bills were paid. He set up a system of communal aid with members of the community, and he did that. He sold a huge portion of his land to set up a solar farm in Plains that provides electricity now, free electricity, for every home in Plains but his. So I think that is part of it. But I think another sense was the fact that it was just so friggin' fun. Every single primary night became a carnival, became a party.
Yeah.
They would have block parties in downtown Plains. They would have kegs, and people would bring their television sets, and they'd put them on the depot loading dock. The news media flocked to Plains. Like I said, very small town. They originally selected the depot because it was the only structure that had a public bathroom. So that's why it was selected as the campaign headquarters. But once he became popular, once he became famous, they estimated that something like 5,000 to 10,000 people came to Plains every single day. So it was a perpetual block party. And that type of humanity and excitement, it's electric. And I think people that maybe didn't necessarily originally think that he had a chance kind of said, this is a lot of fun. But then again, too, the documentary begins with him announcing that he is dying of cancer. And this was in 2015. It was on the eve of the 40th anniversary. And the people of Plains started putting yard signs that said Jimmy Carter for Cancer Survivor. Mm-hmm. So I think it was always a very symbiotic relationship between the two of them. I don't know. Adam, what do you think?
I mean, it essentially represents almost like a utopian community where people actually have stock in how each other does.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's something we always aim for in our personal lives. And of course, we don't really see it a whole lot. But you still see it there a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I, coming into this a little bit later on in the process, have really gotten to know and have really become so much more appreciative to be able to kind of just be along for the ride as well.
You know, as a Southern boy, I'm reminded, when you talked about Plains in that way, I'm reminded of these small football towns, like the Friday night lights towns that, you know, the city doesn't move throughout the week, but Friday night, they have something to kind of coalesce around, even if it's not a specific interest of theirs, because it's just another social outlet. And so with this Friday night light type vibe in Plains, Georgia, and Jimmy being the quarterback, let's talk about who he threw the ball to. As you're doing this documentary, as you're going through the fabric and the zeitgeist of Plains, Georgia, who were some of the most interesting personalities or people that you had a chance to interview and to talk to, whether it's research or the film directly?
So one of the...
And I want an answer from both of you on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think we might have the same answer. But
oh, I love that.
But originally, I decided pretty early that we weren't going to actually have interviews in the traditional sense of, putting a camera there and recording the recollections of people. One of the main reasons was the fact that a lot of the participants have now passed on. So what we did was we did something kind of unusual with documentaries, and that is we actually wrote an entire script. And then we went ahead and we storyboarded it, and then we scouted locations. So we did all of that as part of pre-production. So it was, for a documentary, it was very cinematic in its structure. And then we had all of these different characters, not only President Carter and First Lady Carter, but he had three very dynamic and engaging siblings. He had a mother who was there and was very active, Miss Lillian. He had a 9-year-old, Amy Carter, who was in and around Plains. And all of these different characters that I think any novelist would love to create were there. And so what we did was we reached out to the people of Plains. We reached out to Billy Carter, who's now deceased. We reached out to his daughter. She runs the Friends of Jimmy Carter National Park. It's an organization that works with the National Park Service. And I said, this is the documentary that we're doing. Would you consider playing your grandmother, Miss Lillian? Mm-hmm. And she said yes right away. But she said, have you found somebody to play my father yet? And I said, no. And she said, well, my son, who was born after my father passed away, he speaks and sounds just like him. Would he play it? And we said, absolutely. And then her other granddaughter, who sounds just like Amy Carter, was cast as Amy Carter. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of sprung from there. You have children of these people.
Are they all still in Plains, these people?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So you have children of the figures that are now passed on, who are playing their moms and their dads. And what's really great about that is we filmed in and around Plains, which most of it is a National Historic Park. It's preserved to look the way it did in the 1970s. So in a way, it's almost as if all of the actors are now gone, but the scenery is still being preserved, mm-hmm. and it's still being preserved by the children of the actors. And they've all played a huge role. And likewise, all of the outsider characters, all of the other politicians that are playing roles, all of the historians that are playing roles, they're all being filled by Carter historians, by Carter devotees from California and from Tallahassee, Florida. Mm-hmm. And so what you end up getting is this great American chorus. So we don't have any reenactments. We don't have any interviews. We have a voice cast of over 60 people, not trying to transport you back in time, but trying to get you to remember.
Maybe this question will need some context, but that context can come from your answer. Jimmy Carter is this multifaceted figure, right? His genesis is really interesting because he's small town, and small town doesn't run the country. But then he becomes the president of the United States, and so you have this really cool middle and some other political affiliations before that. And then his post-presidency is questionably the most interesting of all time, probably holds that title or that spot. This film is covering which periods, not just of him, but Plains dealing with him.
So it begins, like I said, with his announcement in 2015, mm-hmm. and basically him and his community decide to make one last improbable race, mm-hmm. this time not for the presidency, but for survival.
Sure.
And once again, they defeat expectations and he would live another decade cancer-free.
Got you. So this does generally cover Carter's post-presidency, but not through the lens of that, through the lens of how he was living.
Well, so that's how it begins. Okay. It's just that the first minute just talks about that last thing. Then it covers basically from the period of 1960 mm-hmm. to 1980. That's the bulk of the documentary. And then, like in the beginning where we have the prologue, which deals with that cancer diagnosis, the sort of ending covers basically 1980 from 2025 in about 5 minutes. But the focus is mainly on transforming Plains into a National Historic Park.
Gotcha.
So I famously... as I've told a few people during this process, there's more screen time dealing with Amy Carter's lemonade stand than there is about the Carter Center. Because again, that story's been covered. Mm-hmm. It's been covered recently, and they've done fantastic jobs. But what we wanted to talk about was really the one community that if he did not have— I don't see him becoming president. I don't see him doing the amazing things that he did.
Is there a specific ambition for this film, or is it just to release it into the world?
I want to give it to PBS. Mm. And my goal is, in a time when there's a lot of people that are telling a lot of other people that... don't even think about running for Congress. Don't even think about running for president. Those roles aren't for you. Mm-hmm. It's too costly. You'll never raise enough money to run for these things. I want to hopefully show as many Americans as possible that just a generation ago, the system worked. Ordinary people were able to be enough to elect one of their friends president. And that's our main goal, I think, is we want people to remember their worth as citizens.
Mm-hmm. Adam?
I think I kind of very briefly touched this earlier, but I would love to see it make people think, why don't I help my neighbor more than I currently do? I mean, you see this type of behavior in Plains more than you'll see anywhere else, like towns that you might never even realize we're there if you don't know of it. Because, I mean, you could blink and almost miss Plains, like on the way up to Atlanta from here. It's like halfway almost exactly.
We were having difficulty getting people to sit down and record voiceovers because we're not from Plains. Mm-hmm. It was two people that we know, Andrew Greer, a friend of mine who lives there. He's a documentarian and he lives there. And Kim Fuller Carter, Billy's daughter, that set that up. That coordinated it. They did that. They're planning a premiere in the fall that is going to be a recreation of the primary night festivals in the main street. That's all them. They're doing that. And I even said to them, I have about as much of a reason in my background to suspect that I could make a documentary as Jimmy Carter had to expect that he could be president. And these people are making it happen. They make it happen by everything that they do, in much the same way as every single person in Tallahassee, Florida, that's part of this documentary, all the artists, all the musicians. Everybody is giving of themselves because they believe in the material, and it's really a communal effort to get it to all of you. Hopefully, this October.
Well, I am looking forward to this film for several different reasons, and in closing, I will say that one of them is because Jimmy Carter, and I know this sounds like a stretch, but Jimmy Carter, a lot like Malcolm X or Winston Churchill, is such a character that evolves and has such different arcs that I like to critique Jimmy and I like to praise Jimmy, and I just like to study Jimmy. But like you said at the beginning of this, it's not about him, it's about them. But today, it's about the both of you. I appreciate you so much for doing this, for carrying this undertaking. You know, it's like a charge to keep you have a specific labor of love. And I think that at the end of it, we will bear the fruit or the peanuts. And thank you all for joining us for another episode of The Warehouse. See you next time. Bye-bye.